The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tomorrow, a Toys for Tots show. We will be at Bach Exotics on the Auto Mile Route 1 in Norwood for the 20th year, at least the 20th year that Santa Bach and I will do this show together, and I hope you'll come out and bring a new unwrapped toy or two or three or four for the Marines who will be there. We will have breakfast for you, and we will have live music for you, and Santa will be there, and the Marines will be there, and Rob Ninkovich will be there with us tomorrow morning, who I am excited to see and to talk Patriots football with. So tomorrow morning.
Munchkin.
And Munchkin. Don't forget Munchkin. I believe we have a pretty good track record when it comes to Pudge's Pals, our tribute to the great Pudge, Curtis's dog.
The best.
And I think two of the three, at least, that we know about have been given forever home. So you can meet Munchkin in person tomorrow morning.
And if Munchkin gives you a fraction of what Pudge gave me, it will be the best decision you'll ever make.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shime must have been with people that were interested in Munchkin last night. He texted me for the photo.
Oh, really?
I was, yeah.
Ooh, Dunks?
Told you, because it's Munchkin's last stand, right?
So, I mean, last hope, yeah.
And he's a good-looking dog, too.
Like Custard's last stand.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like now that you've said that, like, Munchkin is going to walk in on all fours tomorrow, and people are going to start to cry, and Munchkin is going to know what's going to happen if Munchkin doesn't get adopted.
I'm just going based on what Courtney said.
I don't know why you put that out in the ether.
Because Courtney said this was his last hope.
That's what the email
said. But that doesn't mean that.
So what does last hope mean?
I mean, he needs a he's been with foster homes. Right. He needs like a full family is what that means.
A forever home.
Like a forever home.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Let's get Munchkin adopted.
And Munchkin just was told his school was closed because it was in the eastern part of the state.
Speaking of that, here is Curtis's favorite caller, Angry Principal Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey, good morning. I thought it would be appropriate for me to give Jackson a grade on his snow list.
Yes.
So I'm going to grade him. I'm going to grade him as an incomplete.
Oh.
He did a nice job.
Uh-huh.
Good voice. Yeah, good voice. Fairly organized. But what I think he forgot is there probably was a page two to the list.
Uh-huh.
Because he stopped at the ends. So Jackson, next time you do it, there's probably like a little two at the bottom of the page. Just click that because you stopped at N. There was lots of schools after that that were canceled. So
next time
a little bit better.
Do you have school today, Dave?
My district is closed, but I have to use a vacation day to have it off. So we have to go in, but I decided to take a vacation day. And I'd also like to chime in on the Ryder Cup debate, if you had a minute or 30 seconds.
I do, but I do have good news for you when it comes to one thing you don't have to do. I just found out somebody else is plowing your ex-wife. So so you don't. You do not have to go. You do not have to go over there. You do not. You don't have to go over there and handle that.
You know what? You know what, Glenn? Glenn, that was well played.
All right,
that was well played, Glenn. Unlike your golf game. Well played, unlike your golf game.
Thank you.
Let me defend. Can I defend my Awaken 180 buddy, Shine? Because he's spot on about this.
Yes.
There's no reason. Tiger Woods is basically, if you read the story, is basically advocating all the players should get like $5 million and then donate it to charities. They have never got paid for the Ryder Cup. They get paid $200,000 now that goes right to a charity. They should not get paid. Do Olympians get paid?
They do, yeah.
Because that would equate this to the Olympics.
They do. They get a little bit. Yeah, they do. They get a little bit. Yeah, they get paid. They get paid for medals, right? They get paid for medals.
Yes,
they get paid when they win. So that's all right. Well, it's been an interesting debate. Thank you, Dave. Mm-hmm. Shine, we got to get to They Said It.
Let's get back to the. Did you want the open again?
Well, I guess we don't have to have it. There might be some who are unable to listen during the 7 o'clock hour. Might like to hear your creative intro.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay. All right.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. We continue. We started earlier. And we've been running late all morning. Where do you want to go now, Sean?
Greg, you mentioned it before the break. Let's hear from one of my favorite people in NFL media, Daniel Jeremiah, big draft guy, just like myself. And DJ wanted to talk about who he's been most impressed. Yeah, DJ wanted to talk about who he's been most impressed by at the quarterback position from this past rookie class. Here is what Daniel Jeremiah had to say.
If you're going to ask me, of all these rookie quarterbacks, what I've been most impressed by, I would say Drake May. He's got nothing. He's got nothing to work with. And the whole worry was, we're going to ruin Drake May by putting him out there because of what we have around him. And the exact opposite's happened. Drake May's gone in there and made everyone else around him better, which for a rookie quarterback is, that's some rare stuff. So of all the fan bases, the one who I think should feel the most excited right now, it should be New England because of what he's doing with what he's with.
Okay.
It's hard to be super upset about the New England Patriots in this season because of what you have in Drake May. Is it not? It's like I want to be bummed or I want to be pissed off, but it's honestly like the guy is just has a bright, the future's bright.
You got the most important piece, and we've been talking about it. What is going to be, who is going to be the guy after Brady? It looks like you have the most important piece in it. You're right. It looks like Drake May has a bright future. So that is what makes me happy when I think about this football team. Now the next step is, what do you put around them this offseason?
Yeah. I mean, the issue, I guess, I'm looking at the Twitch chat, the issue becomes the concern that they muff it when it comes to who they add, what they're willing to spend, what they're going to do. But, I mean,
definitely.
They can't, though.
I mean, they could.
Curtis, where's the poll at when it comes to ownership, social media-wise, currently?
Sorry, I was just checking. Jackson's doing a great job. He just saved a cut that we're going to get to, so I was just editing that quickly. Right. The poll question is, the poll results are, who is a worse owner right now, John Henry or Robert Kraft? Just under 800 votes in. 53% John Henry, 47% Robert Kraft, which if we asked this 5 years ago, would have been 90-10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Henry to Kraft.
It's the dynasty that got Kraft.
It really is.
Yeah.
Locally, yes.
Yeah, because that's what ultimately, you know, it was such a bad look for Bill Belichick, and it almost looked like a hit piece on Bill, and I don't think
it was people think it was too petty. Like, why are you bothering with this
and I don't think a lot of fans like that, and that's why.
You don't think any of it has to do with questions about Gerard Mayo and whether he's the right guy or not?
Nah, not really. I think it's more about the way he handled the Bill situation.
But I think that's part and parcel.
Right, but if he handles the Bill situation better and there's no issue, then I think that number is closer to 70-30, and maybe it's more about Gerard Mayo then. But it's really, it's
wild to me that it's almost dead heat 50-50
shocking
when it comes to those two.
Yeah.
based on the Robert Kraft has been held in, and rightly so,
right,
in great renown for the last 20 years.
And what did he do wrong?
He tried to make Bill look bad.
Right. And that's why that poll is the way it is. I don't think it has much to do with Mayo. It's the way he made Bill look when Bill left. Even if you didn't like Bill and you were like, all right, it's time to move on from Bill, great. Just move on from him and do it the nicest way. And, you know, we're both making this mutual. But then once you start going on the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne and Envy,
saying that you fired him and you had to fire him. Yeah. Well,
and I think a big component of this is that Tom and Bill are doing podcasts together. They're both out of the building, doing things successfully on their own. And the least important for the fan is the only one left, and fans blame him now for both.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, anything else?
Well, yeah, it's interesting we bring up the Krafts. Here's a cut from our friend of the station, Tommy Curran, sat down with Gerard Mayo and asked about his conversations with the Krafts after games and throughout the course of the season. Here is how Gerard Mayo responded to that.
How does it go after a game? Do they say, why didn't you go for two? Is it that blunt, or what was the thought process?
We always debrief the games, and they're very, they just want to know at least my thought process. And they absolutely, just like the fans, sometimes don't agree with the way that the game is going. You know, obviously when you lose games, the questions are plentiful.
Pointed.
Very pointed. That's right.
Plentiful.
That's right. And again, though, as the head coach, like, I have to be able to answer those questions. And my job is not only to protect the coaches, but also protect the players. And that's why I try to take 100% accountability.
So I guess Robert is saying, damn, why didn't you go for two?
Would you guess, Wiggy, you would know better than anybody, does that go on everywhere else in the NFL where you are debriefing with ownership after every game?
Probably not. I guess there's probably certain places like Dallas where I believe it probably goes on there.
Well, Jerry's the GM.
Yeah.
Ah, neutralized. Bam.
but probably not. Maybe with some of the younger, newer coaches. Maybe in Atlanta with Arthur Blank and Raheem Morrison. You know, Morris, maybe it goes in that direction. But I would think that if the
That's
owner.
That's unusual.
Yeah, if the owner has confidence in you, then they're not going to debrief you about what they saw in the game.
And if you knew he was the guy 5 years ago, why are you micromanaging?
Yeah.
So you're saying they don't have confidence in him?
I think that I'm not saying they necessarily don't have confidence, but they, I guess Curtis brings up a great point. Why are they micromanaging?
Well, is it micromanaging though, or they just want to know his decision making because they want to know in their own heads if they should be retaining their coach or not retaining their coach in the future? So they're kind of trying to figure out if his at least thought process is correct and kind of what his decision-making is like in the game.
I think they're panicking. Yeah. I think that they're panicking after the last couple of seasons that they've had, so they're probably asking more questions. I think if you're Robert Kraft right now, I mean, Curtis was sending us before the game that you could get into Gillette for $25 on Sunday. Like, I think it looked empty on TV. If you're right. Robert Kraft, you're starting to really stress out. So I'm not surprised that he's going in. Whether or not he has the confidence in Gerard Mayo is one thing.
I like the Steve Jobs philosophy, which was, we don't hire the most talented people and tell them what to do.
Uh-huh.
We hire the most talented people so they can tell us what to do.
Right. But do owners think like that, though?
But I think if you ask Bill Belichick, sorry, Wiggs, if you ask Bill Belichick today why he's no longer the coach, he would probably say because he didn't debrief. And if he did, he gave them no answers. I bet you that's the big difference for the Krafts, is that they were seeking answers from Bill, whether it was regarding his staff or how he did it. And Bill, I think rightfully, said, F off, I'm the coach. Don't tell me how to do it. If you want someone else to do it, hire them.
But I do get what Shime's saying. Like, as an owner of a football team, if I owned the team, I would probably want to debrief and just ask, hey, why did we go for two there? Or why didn't we not? Like, because this is your football team, right? Owners are, this is their football team. So why
doesn't every owner in the NFL do it then?
I don't know. Maybe and this, you know,
maybe
what?
More do though.
Let's huh?
Maybe more of them
right.
do. Like I bet
Shime, there are like
I bet there's very few instances where they don't at all. Like they like
Hunt the Third is not sitting down with Andy Reid after every game and asking
because
yeah,
they
why
win
he
all the
well, that's an outlier.
Correct.
Well, you know who's the great way to find this out? Billy O next week. When he was in Houston, especially early in his career, yeah. Is this something that owners, you know, would do? like early in the career. I mean, I get Andy Reid, but.
All right, Chime, good stuff.
Thank you.
That's the
job, Chime.
Thank you.
They said it happens normally at 7 or 7:20 or if we are unable to stick to a schedule at some point during the morning on this show. We'll be right back.
Oozed.